WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Trump campaign said the joke does not reflect the views of former President Trump or the campaign. It happened during a rally in New York City last night.
For nearly 5 hours, an array of speakers fired up the crowd inside of Madison Square Garden. But it was this statement that caused instant vitriol.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Tony Hinchcliffe is a comedian and podcaster, and his remarks set off an avalanche of criticism.
ABC's Joe Torres. In the coming week, McDonald's plans to return the Quarter Pounder sandwich in 13 states where it pulled it from its menus after at least 75 people were sickened by E. coli traced to onions on the sandwich. The United Nations Security Council to meet today after Israel's attack Friday on Iran, which targeted air defense and missile production. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It is the first weekend of early in-person voting. If you plan on early voting, make sure to bring an official form of photo ID, like your driver's license. Earlier this week, the Wisconsin Election Commission reported that municipal clerks were having issues with label printing delays, but that issue has been resolved. Dough at a Wisconsin pizza place was tainted with THC. Public Health Madison Dane County staff say Famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton served pizza from Monday through Thursday with dough that was contaminated. Multiple people had to be taken to the hospital with symptoms like dizziness, increased heart rate, and vomiting. Famous Yeti shares an industrial kitchen with other businesses where they make food and other products. This makes it possible that it's an unfortunate and bizarre case of cross-contamination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers stopped the Jaguars.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers with another come-from-behind victory, beating the Jaguars 30-27 with a winning field goal after Jordan Love had to exit the game with a leg injury. Running back Josh Jacobs took over with 127 yards rushing on 25 carries, scoring 2 touchdowns. But Jacobs says the offense could have done better.
I felt like we should have closed the game out. I felt like we should have executed better. I felt like it shouldn't have been that type of fight at the end. But being able to be in that position and still come out with a win, I think it speaks volumes to this team.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers now 5-3 after losing to Penn State 28-13 Saturday night. Up next, the Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Nets in Brooklyn, 115-102. Milwaukee now 1-2 on the season after losing the home opener to the Chicago Bulls. Head coach Doc Rivers asked if he needs to address the team.
It depends how you pitch your spots. And we got to get right first. You can yell all you want. If you're not playing right, it doesn't matter.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we start our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour with Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. Get on the road with us next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A little sunshine today, but overall mostly cloudy and breezy with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, maybe an isolated thundershower with a low in the low to mid-50s. And then tomorrow, a scattered shower or two, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about college students getting threatening text messages about voting. We'll sort out fact from the criminally fictitious.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
We had a little fall nip in the air over the weekend, but now things start turning around weather-wise. Welcome to a Monday, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here to greet you on the Midwest Farm Report. We'll get weather details with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. I can tell you the forecast in front of me calling for sunny skies on the way today. We'll bounce up to around 67 degrees. Little bit of a breeze out there today out of the south, 10 to 15, gusting up to 30 miles an hour. Tonight, temperatures drop back down to around 60 degrees. Tomorrow, 81 our expected high with sunshine. Wednesday, possible rain in the forecast. We'll get more details on that with Stu coming up. Hey, Wisconsin has got a national FFA officer. She hails from the community of East Troy. We'll introduce you to Mary Schreiber, the new Central Region National FFA officer. Stand by for that. We're also catching up with Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension soybean specialist. It's been a challenging year for Wisconsin farmers, no matter what they're growing. Soybeans, well, we're learning something from this year. Sean will explain.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and...
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
We're walking into a very stressful time of year between the harvest, the holidays, and the upcoming election. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Monica McConkie is a rural mental health specialist, and she's one of two state-funded farm counselors in Minnesota. She has some advice for us on how and when to get help before you or a loved one goes into crisis. After all, the agriculture community is even more susceptible to stress and depression due to weather and crop prices.
Almost daily, I get calls from new farmers or ranchers that I've never spoken to before. And so besides, you know, my existing caseload. So yeah, plenty of stress out there that's driving a lot of relationship difficulty, as well as just personal stress and anxiety and depression.
We are in an election season, and we know what politics can do, especially at the family dinner table. So this is an important time of year to kind of check in.
there's so much political strife, and we're such a divided country right now, and families in some cases are divided. And imagine having a family divided and you still have to come and work together every day on the farm. It really is a difficult time. And I think even if the family's on the same page, just the political climate in our country, the stress that we're that's out there, I mean, it's tangible. We're all feeling it on some level. So yes, checking in, and I think especially about heading into the winter season. You know, we're already up here in the north. We're seeing our temperatures dip a bit. Leaves are turning color and a little more darkness than even just a few weeks ago. And that can tend to take a toll on an individual who is already struggling. And we may see them isolate more in the winter months. So super important that we reach out, check in, kind of put aside differences, put aside family strife, and check on each other.
When farmers do give you a call, what are they asking you for typically? What do they need?
Sometimes it's honestly a neutral listening ear. Someone who doesn't know them, someone that can just hear them, someone they can process things through verbally and just receive some feedback. Other times they really need a person to come into the situation and meet with the family, whether it's difficulty in transitioning the farm from, you know, one generation to the next, whether it's just difficulty with daily management on the farm or within a marriage. And so sometimes they need that outside third party to come in and give them some strategies to heal and move forward.
Are you meeting in a neutral location? Are you going to the farm? And who do you bring in to, like, sit down and say, let's solve this problem?
I meet with the majority of my farmers on the farm, as long as that's good with them. I do meet with a fair number over Zoom, so virtually. But when you have a family situation, that's tough. It's tough to have, you know, six people on a Zoom call and try to hash things out. So typically I go to the farm, we sit down at the kitchen table. Or if they don't want to meet at the farm, neutral location, bank meeting room, extension office, church, I mean, park. I've been in a lot of places in rural communities meeting with folks. For that meeting, I would have talked to each of them individually to get a sense of where they are on whatever the issue is. And then when we come together, it's really about what's the common ground we can work off of. And once we establish some kind of common ground, then it's like what needs to be addressed and how do we do that in a calm, rational, problem-solving manner, trying to keep emotions, you know, at bay.
Can you give me a sense of what some of these problems might be that might be causing the friction?
So sometimes I get called in when marriages are really on their last leg. I mean, really, they're so distant and the relationship has disintegrated that it's, I would say a lot of times to the point that it's not repairable. And calling me is kind of a last-ditch effort. So then we just talk about, okay, what does it look like when you're not together? If you have kids, how do we make that work? How do we keep the kids first and foremost in the future plans? So I always encourage people, don't wait. Don't wait till it's crisis mode to be calling for help. Other situations are, let's say a family is like 7 years into a 2 to 3 year transition plan. It's just not going anywhere. Younger generation is ready to give up and quit and walk off the farm because they feel like older generation is controlling and not wanting to hand over the reins. Older generation doesn't feel like younger generation is committed and has the skills to keep it going. So yeah, I have seen farms go outside of the family instead of stay in the family because of just the conflict within the relationships between like mom and dad and kids. So tough situations. And there's a lot of grief and loss tied up in all of that too, like especially for the older generation walking away or handing duties over. It's what they've done all their life. It's what they know. It's who they are. So there's a lot wrapped up in those kind of situations. And others are really around poor communication, the need to better define roles and responsibilities and expectations so we're not tripping over each other. It's like really who gets to decide what. Other times it's some disagreement with off-farm siblings and on-farm siblings and the kind of you know, sometimes some sense of entitlement there. And so, yeah, a variety, all kinds of things.
You said don't wait till you're in crisis mode. What's a sign that you should call before it gets to the point of no return?
If something's on your mind a lot, if you're thinking about it a lot, if you're starting to feel a little frustrated about something, it's just not resolving, not going away. Maybe you've tried to have some conversations and it hasn't gone anywhere. Just call. The earlier the better, honestly. Same with just farm transitions overall on that topic. But even for yourself individually, if you're starting to feel like, gosh, I just dread getting up in the morning, or I'm having these thoughts that just won't quit and I can't sleep at night, the earlier we can catch that, the better. It's kind of like we don't want you to spiral down into a deep, deep hole that takes a lot of time and effort to crawl out of. Even if you're down in a little hole, it's easier to get out of, right? So the earlier, the better.
I do want to speak about the holidays. There's some vulnerability here that we're going to come into, and I think farmers should just be aware of that.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, we look at media and all the lovely magazines and all the beautiful, you know, traditional Christmas decor and gatherings and the Thanksgiving table. And you know, our farmers are scrambling to sometimes put food on the table, period. Yeah. Ironically, they're raising the food and, yeah. It's multifaceted. Sometimes there's guilt about, gosh, we can't get our kids the things we want, and our kids are coming home saying, oh, my friend got an Apple Watch or, you know, whatever for Christmas, and there's no way that's going to happen in our home. And I think on the flip side, there's that feeling of the holidays bring up issues of grief and loss. So I just encourage people, don't set yourself up for failure. Like, check your expectations and make it work for you. If you're going to do something different that's not quote-unquote traditional, or maybe you're not going to the in-laws this year for Christmas, or whatever it is, do what works for you. And if this is, for some of our folks, the first holidays coming up after a loss, whether it's the sale of the cows, the death of a family member, moving off the farm, you know, make it work for you. I just talked to a gal yesterday who really a lot of friction and conflict in family relationships. And so the holidays are very stressful for her. And we just talked about what are options. Maybe the option is just like, we're going to go away for the holidays. We're not even going to stay home. So, you know, watch your expectations on yourself, especially when you head into the holidays, and to just make it what works for you.
Monica McConkie joining us. She's a rural mental health specialist, and she's one of two state-funded farm counselors in the state of Minnesota. As we start to face some seasonal stressors this year, her advice to anyone is to check in on your family members, on your neighbors, and make sure they're okay. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, President Biden apologizes for the atrocities of the Indian boarding schools. Also, why won't the LA Times or the Washington Post endorse this election cycle? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
I was a little disappointed on when we were out on our farm tour along the East Coast. They don't look any different than Wisconsin. They're about as dry as we are. The trees, every once in a while you'd catch one or two with color, but we're just kind of lacking the moisture. Maybe we'll pick that up later this week, you think?
Well, there's that chance, especially now as we look toward late Tuesday into Wednesday. I saw a forecast map. Now, you know, don't take it as gospel, but this forecast map indicating a spot in southern Wisconsin, old Madison up toward Lake Winnebago and over, with over an inch of rain by that midweek period. I see it close to that, three quarters or more, up in far northwest Wisconsin in about that time frame. So there is some possibility. Has to do with a warm front pulling north through the state today. That's going to be followed up by a cool front as we head toward midweek. Right now, the weather radar is quiet, quiet, quiet. There's no precipitation out there north of Montana up in Canada. That's it. We are seeing some really dry weather, and it's going to be a whole lot more windy today and especially tomorrow. So the fire hazard really on the increase. Be really careful. But that front does finally build in, and I expect we talk about some rainfall, certainly as we look toward Wednesday night into Thursday, and that's where we may actually have measurable rain to talk about. Oh, hey, temperatures warm up before that. Gets cooler toward the end of the week, back to normal or feeling almost like November. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed and list corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and...
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
All right, buddy, I'm intrigued by this rainfall possibility. It'll get our rainfall reporters back in gear.
Oh, it'll get a lot of excitement going, I know that. Let's talk about some sun today. Clouds building in somewhat, though partly sunny, still very mild, above normal. In fact, upper 50s, almost 60 in the far northwest, mid and upper 60s the further you head south, and the south winds today, 5 to 15, even gusts close to 30. Overnight, more clouds develop, and we hold in the upper 50s, very low 60s, south winds gusting to 30, mostly sunny on Tuesday, more breezy, and in fact, in the 70s, there may be an 80 in the south tomorrow, but the winds could gust near 40, and then there's that rain chance. Wednesday night, like we've talked about, temperatures holding in the low and mid 70s as we head to Wednesday, and suddenly falling, Pam, and I expect back into the low 50s as we head toward Friday.
Wow, it just... all over the place. But like you said, it should start to feel like November here pretty quick.
Yeah, November comes Friday. It's probably getting to be about time.
About time. All right. Very good, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and see how much more you can tell us about that rain possibility.
Sounds good. We'll keep an eye on it.
All right. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, joining us live, courtesy of our friends at Compeer Financial. Compeer Financial, they're your partner, whether you're involved in agriculture or just trying to find that little piece of paradise out in the country. They'll make it happen. Find out how at compeer.com. Well, on the way, talking with Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension soybean specialist. Even he got some surprises this year, courtesy of Mother Nature. He's going to share his research challenges with us. And we have a Wisconsin FFA member, now a part of the National FFA Officer Team. She hails from East Troy. You'll find out about her coming up.
This is the Midwest...
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like...
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Trump campaign said the joke does not reflect the views of former President Trump or the campaign. It happened during a rally in New York City last night.
For nearly 5 hours, an array of speakers fired up the crowd inside of Madison Square Garden. But it was this statement that caused instant vitriol.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah.
I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Tony Hinchcliffe is a comedian and podcaster, and his remarks set off an avalanche of criticism.
ABC's Joe Torres. In the coming week, McDonald's plans to return the Quarter Pounder sandwich in 13 states where it pulled it from its menus after at least 75 people were sickened by E. coli traced to onions on the sandwich. The United Nations Security Council to meet today after Israel's attack Friday on Iran, which targeted air defense and missile production. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It is the first weekend of early in-person voting. If you plan on early voting, make sure to bring an official form of photo ID, like your driver's license. Earlier this week, the Wisconsin Election Commission reported that municipal clerks were having issues with label printing delays, but that issue has been resolved. Dough at a Wisconsin pizza place was tainted with THC. Public Health Madison Dane County staff say Famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton served pizza from Monday through Thursday with dough that was contaminated. Multiple people had to be taken to the hospital with symptoms like dizziness, increased heart rate, and vomiting. Famous Yeti shares an industrial kitchen with other businesses where they make food and other products. This makes it possible that it's an unfortunate and bizarre case of cross-contamination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers stopped the Jaguars.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with another come-from-behind victory, beating the Jaguars 30-27 with a winning field goal after Jordan Love had to exit the game with a leg injury. Running back Josh Jacobs took over with 127 yards rushing on 25 carries, scoring two touchdowns. But Jacobs says the offense could have done better.
I felt like we should have closed the game out. I felt like we should have executed better. I felt like it shouldn't have been that type of fight at the end. But being able to be in that position and still come out with a win, I think it speaks volumes to this team.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers now 5-3 after losing to Penn State 28-13 Saturday night. Up next, the Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Nets in Brooklyn, 115-102. Milwaukee now 1-2 on the season after losing the home opener to the Chicago Bulls. Head coach Doc Rivers asked if he needs to address the team.
It depends how you pitch your spots. And we got to get right first. You can yell all you want. If you're not playing right, it doesn't matter.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former Illinois Congressman and former Tea Party member Joe Walsh. He's a firebrand, and he's going to light it up about why your vote matters more than ever.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A little sunshine today, but overall mostly cloudy and breezy with a high in the mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, maybe an isolated thundershower with a low in the low to mid-50s. And then tomorrow, a scattered shower or two, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're examining Deceive, Disrupt, Deny, a new report which games out a likely election subversion plan by partisan extremists. With an effort already underway to spread baseless claims of widespread non-citizen voting, extremists may again be motivated to confront voters and election workers. Legal and physical protections for voters and election workers have been strengthened since 2020, as have consequences for harassment and intimidation. But experts from election watchdog Protect Democracy think surveillance of ballot drop boxes and voter and election worker intimidation by election denier groups may continue to be a factor. Voters can also expect to see more partisan poll watchers looking for opportunities to object to a voter's eligibility or obstruct election procedures. Some of that obstruction may happen in the courts. Protect Democracy reports that state parties and the Republican National Committee have over 100 pending lawsuits over election procedures, including challenges to mail-in voting, voter registration purges, and hand counting of ballots. Almost all states are better prepared for the potential of threats, intimidation, or violence, and most states have increased transparency to tamp down conspiracy theories. But what happens when the candidate baselessly denies he lost? More on that part of the subversion plan in our next report. We've linked to Protect Democracy's report, Safeguards and Remedies, at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From time to time.
It's fun.
You know, by the sheer nature of this business, I never know exactly what the show is going to turn out to be until it starts happening. That's kind of the case this morning. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. We got a nice surprise on Friday down at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. A Wisconsinite was named to the National FFA Officer Team. We'll introduce her to you in just a moment. Today is the 28th day of October. What can I tell you? Let's see, on this day, back in 1919, Congress passes the Volstead Act. It basically made it illegal to move or transport alcohol in the United States except for medical or religious purposes. Prohibition ended with the ratification of the 21st Amendment, December 1933. Long time that the United States was dry. It started on this day back in 1919. Happy birthday to former Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, 75 years old. Julia Roberts celebrating her 57th birthday today. And actor Joaquin Phoenix, 50 years young. And now you know. Well, we want you to know that Wisconsin came away with a lot of winners from the National FFA Convention that concluded on Friday in Indianapolis. The big surprise, although we knew she could do it, Mary Schreiber from the East Troy FFA named the Central Region National FFA Vice President. She'll now be traveling the United States for the next year, as well as abroad, representing the National FFA. And she tells us that it was not always in the cards. In fact, Schreiber says she waited until late in her high school career to start pursuing activities in FFA.
I grew up without a lot of agriculture experience, and for a long time I really perceived that as a weakness or something that I should hide. But eventually this agricultural community and this national organization really encouraged me to use that perspective and those experiences to my advantage, because within this organization, every experience and every perspective is valuable. And it took me, I always say, sort of an embarrassingly long time to realize that value in my experiences. And the love I have for this industry is because of the people. And that's exactly why I ran to serve this organization for another year, which is just this joyful dream that is somehow coming to life right now.
And with all the smiles and all the prep that goes into this, what are you hoping to bring to the FFA membership?
So a big part of why I ran was because I didn't always feel that sense of belief in myself that I could be successful within this organization, in this industry, and that my ambitions weren't really worth sharing. And it took me a long time to feel that sense of belief within myself and that belonging within our organization. And ultimately, that led me to practice brotherhood. And that's exactly why I was standing on that stage just a few minutes ago. And that's why I'm sitting here now, because I want to encourage members to practice brotherhood, like we talk about in opening ceremonies. And I always say that brotherhood's kind of an experience, and you can't quite put your finger on it, but when you're there and you're standing in Lucas Oil Stadium watching thousands of members stand and respond when that president taps that gavel and asks, why are we here? And we lead with to practice brotherhood. That's when you sort of experience and feel it.
You talked about how you're going to practice brotherhood for the membership, but there's also the idea of getting something back out of this experience and this year of service. What are you hoping for?
I'm most excited to meet members. I am a people person through and through, and I love to learn. So I'm so excited to learn these members' stories and share with them some of my experiences within this organization to ensure that they really understand who I am, but more importantly, I can understand who they are to better serve them throughout this year.
Well, I am super proud of all the prep that you did, because you spent a lot of time. It was more than just a day or two to get ready for this, wasn't it?
Yes, it was several months, and it was supported by so many people I don't even have time to name, so many mentors throughout this process, my family, my FFA advisors, state staff. I could not name everybody here in this interview, but know that if I have interacted with you sometime throughout my FFA journey, that you're a part of this too. And I'm so grateful to be able to share it with you.
Quite the young lady. That is Mary Schreiber from the East Troy FFA. Now, the Central Region National FFA Vice President begins a year of service, traveling both in the United States as well as abroad, representing the blue and gold. She was selected from 37 candidates that were interviewing for the position. Congratulations again, Mary. Now, Wisconsin did very well at the 97th National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. We'll be bringing you more of those results through the week, both here on the radio as well as online at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
So an interesting new partnership has been struck between the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and the Wisconsin Badger State Sheriffs Association. What they're doing is partnering up with the Farm Bureau's Farm Neighbors Care campaign. Basically, it's designed to try to address the critical issue of mental health in rural communities. Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, said the collaboration should expand the reach of the Farm Bureau's Farm Neighbors Care campaign and focus on promoting wellness and supporting farmers and their families when they are in need. He said the partnership is critical in extending their network, and they hope by doing this, they'll break down the stigma surrounding mental health and providing support to those working tirelessly to feed communities. So again, something we'll be following. The director of the Badger State's Sheriff's Association, John Gossage, said that Wisconsin sheriffs serve a large rural population and interact with a lot of citizens on a daily basis. This partnership is key. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, a little bit mixed as we get going. I'll tell you about dairy first. Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 187. 40-pound block cheese was down two at 190, but double A butter on Friday gained 4.5 cents to 269.5 per pound. This morning, our class 3 milk that goes into cheese, the November contract's up 7 right now, 2011. December class 3 milk down 4 at 2018. Currently, as far as grain trade's concerned, December corn's down a penny at 414. November soybeans are down 6 at 982. Right now, we've got December wheat down 2 at 567. March wheat down 2 at 587 this morning. Well, the paperwork has been submitted, and now we're just waiting for finalization on the announcement of the next round of Agriculture Road Improvement Grant recipients. Joel Nielsestoon, Assistant Deputy Secretary at the Department of Transportation, said the second round was just as popular as the first.
We received 220 applications for round two, and you know those 220 applications total about $370.5 million worth of work. They accounted for 490 miles of agricultural roadways that people were looking to improve. It would have impacted 725 producers, and you know, we estimate about 639 billion pounds of agricultural goods worth about $21 billion each year. So, you know, to me, Charity, what that represents is that's a robust response to round two. It just, to me, what that says is that there is a lot of need out there.
Joel Nielsestoon talking with our Charity Seebecker about round two of the Agriculture Road Improvement Program grants. Now we'll just wait and see of all that paperwork submitted, which ones are actually going to get the limited funding that's available. All right, speaking of funding, soybean checkoff dollars at work. Coming up next, talking with Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, on some of the surprises that he experienced like Wisconsin farmers and fields this year.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap the events of the weekend. I'm sure nothing will have happened. And we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on Air.
This morning, I'm catching up with Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension soybean specialist, to say that Wisconsin farmers have had some surprises this growing season. Definitely an understatement. This conversation brought to you courtesy of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, focusing your grower dollars on research, education, and promotion. And as Dr. Sean Conley told me, this year, even for researchers like him, Mother Nature gave him an education.
Thanks, Pam. Yeah, just like our farmers out there, it's been a challenging year. Our yields are all over the board.
from, you know, some areas where we have record highs and some of my locations are record lows. We lost one of our sites to slug damage and flooding this spring. So, again, I feel like I'm a farmer this year with how my yields have been. You know, one of the interesting things we've seen is, and the farmers are seeing this right now, our crop is basically anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks ahead of schedule. So most of the beans are already out at this point. And I think one of the things the farmers have been battling is just basically dry soybeans. You know, a lot of the farmers I'm talking to, they're harvesting sub 9% beans, which really is a challenge. And actually, when I was driving up to Pambo, here where we're at today, Pam, is that I saw a farmer that really didn't stop and check their combine, and I saw a nice cover crop of beans that were growing up that basically they were just kicking too many small beans out of the back of the combine and spread it out. So I think it was a year of interesting things, but it's also a year where we learned a lot as well.
Now, one of the things that had been discussed, and I know that you had pivoted some of your research, is how can we incorporate cover crops with some of this these plans? What did you learn there? This is kind of a funky year to pick that up, too.
It was, Pam. One of the interesting things that we noticed this year is, you know, what we try to do is we really try to push yields here in Wisconsin, which means we're planting our cover crops late. And obviously what we're trying to do is get as much biomass out there, not only to fix carbon, but also to be able to have some form of a weed control out there to supplement our herbicides or tillage if you're not no-tilling. And one of the things we tried this last year is adding some supplemental nitrogen to our cover crops pre-soybean planting. Mm. So we'd go out there and green up like you with winter wheat. And we used 28%, but you could have used urea or whatever form you wanted to use. And what we found is just putting about 25 pounds of N out there, we were able to get enough biomass raised in our late plantings that we were able to either, if not get to that 4,500-pound magical level that we need to get 50% weed control. If we didn't quite hit that, we were pretty darn close. So I think what we found is, again, this was just 1 year, and we need some more work on this, Pam, but I think there's ways that farmers can work at getting more biomass out there through things like, obviously, we want to plant earlier, but putting some supplemental nitrogen out there into the system. Mm. And the good thing about cereal rye, which is what we're using, is that it has a really high carbon to nitrogen ratio. And then what we're able to do is it's sucking up all the nitrogen or most of the nitrogen we put out there, and that's all being bound into that plant. And then that's helping us build organic matter. So we're not really having any loss. Mm-hmm. We're building organic matter, and that's helping us as we get into some of these more resilient years, we have these fluctuations, that the more biomass we have out there, the more organic matter we have out there, the more resilient your crops could be. It'd be corn, soybean, wheat, whatever it might be in that field in the subsequent years. So that's really been a boon. So if you might not necessarily see a yield advantage this year, you're building for the future.
Right. Well, and like you said, it keeps our soil structure healthy too. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, along with us, brought to you courtesy of your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars. Now, let's talk about the edginess going into 2025. I mean, you're going to start pushing the pencil now, Sean, as far as ROI on the different practices and types that you worked with this year, and then setting your sights on 2025. What are some of the top of mind things that you're thinking about?
I mean, I think the number one thing I'm really thinking about is, you know, kind of how the farmers are going to be able to respond in 2025. We're coming off of the last 5 years. I think we've had 3 years of record yields as well as record revenue generation for farmers. But then we start looking at, you know, what I usually use as an indicator is how our used equipment selling. And we're seeing used equipment being sold right now at 20% of what it was last year. So that kind of gives us an indicator that, you know, at least not, well, next year and the next couple of years are going to be tough on our farmers in terms of the economics. So I think we really need to be able to, like you said, push that pencil and figure out, you know, what pays. And if I just off the top of my head, you know, you want to invest in fertility, specifically potassium on soybeans. You want to invest in high-yielding genetics. This is a good time to go out there, take advantage of those opportunities for the seed salesmen. And women are out there selling seed right now. Go out there and take advantage of that, you know, pre-sale market, especially if you can get low to zero interest on buying that seed and, you know, paying that forward and the harvest of next year. That will be a big boon to farmers. because if you just look at a simple thing, we run these stats every year, Pam. And even at $9 beans, the advantage of picking a good variety over a bad variety is somewhere around $100 to $120 of extra profit into a farmer's pocket. So you might spend an extra $8 to $12 a unit for seed, but that will equate to extra $100. So the point I really want to make here, Pam, is invest in high-yielding genetics, invest in those traits, i.e. the herbicide traits that work for your farm, and then invest in potassium and really invest in weed control, because water hemp has been a big challenge. And then everything else kind of fits in. And, you know, plant your beans early. We've been really good at showing that. That does not cost you as a farmer any more money. And we generally see a pretty significant yield increase from that. So those are the top three things I would do is invest in K, invest in high-yielding genetics with the herbicide traits you need, and get your beans in as early as you can next year.
Yeah, right. Well, as long as Mother Nature allows us, which in some cases she did not. Let's talk a little bit about herbicide. Herbicide resistance, always something that's top of mind. Any concerns going into 2025 about the herbicide availability and that continuing hanging gauntlet of tools that could be taken away?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge, Pam, that we're dealing with is just being able to manage water hemp and the multiple modes of resistance. And that's where utilizing multiple tools, if you will, utilizing cover crops, being able to get that out there. I mean, we can go out there and the data is pretty consistent, clear, that you can plant green, terminate your cover crop when you've got that amount of biomass in there, 4,000 to 5,000 pounds. You're not going to see any yield loss. You're going to get half the weed control that you would be with a normal herbicide, and be able to control your weeds that way. The other thing is make sure you have a good residual herbicide program, both pre-emergence but also in season. Those are big keys to managing water hemp. There's not a lot of tools left in our toolbox, Pam, and you all know this, to manage water hemp effectively post-emergence. So the better job you can do is getting that weed managed, you know, before it germinates and emerges is where you need to be at. And just stay after it. I think where we saw this last year, as you drive around and there's a lot of weed escapes again that we're really going to have to manage and take care of.
Yeah, already starting to train our sights on the growing season of 2025. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, sharing some of the results from his research out in the field this year and some of the surprises he experienced, just like other growers. It's all brought to you courtesy of your soybean checkoff dollars. Research, education, and promotion. That's what it's all about. If you'd like to find out more, we encourage you to go to wisoybean.org, wisoybean.org, or follow Dr. Con.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The annual Farmer Veteran Stakeholders Conference is on now in Kansas City. That's next on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Former military members who are now connected in some way with agriculture or who would like to be connected with ag are gathered for the Farmer Veteran Stakeholders Conference in Kansas City. U.S. Army veteran Lawrence Roan is project manager for the Farmer Veteran Coalition.
Probably the most impactful part of the conference is the sense of community that you get while you're there, the community of being with our brothers and sisters, being with like-minded individuals who understand the core language, and that is of the service to our country and the experiences we had in doing it.
Roan encourages military vets to consider what agriculture can offer. He says a lot of vets find civilian life challenging at first.
Some degree of a sense of loss of self-worth related to the rank that we wore on our collar, shoulder, or arms. And then the sense of purpose, which was connected with our military occupational specialties, the things we did while we were in service.
You can find out more about the Farmer Veteran Coalition and hear more from Lawrence Roan by visiting the show info page at NorthshoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the Waiwega Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.